Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, one of the greatest ways to peaceful restoration. You see, we reject revolution. Go study revolutions in history. They usually turn out violent. They're not very fun, and they rarely are successful. However, thank heavens for the American Revolution. But now that we've got that done, we want a peaceful restoration. All we got to do is return to the principles that made America great, and it starts with morality in the people. It starts with the checks and balances, and it starts with you and I getting involved. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. We're not preaching negativity for the country. We're telling you we got the greatest country on the face of the earth. Despite our problems, we're going to preach good for America and do all we can to ensure, like the Boy Scouts, we leave a better campsite than we found it. That's what we're going to do for America, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Pray you had a God, family, country-style weekend. Now, we talked on Friday about this epic battle, almost to ad nauseum. We talked about it several days last week about this immigration battle. In a series of tweets, Donald Trump denied he made a deal with Democrats on immigration, but the Democrats say he made a deal. It kind of comes down to semantics. On one side is Mitch McConnell and those guys. They're being left out of the discussion, while Nancy Pelosi and those guys, Chuck Schumer, are being wooed by the Donald going to dinner last week. You and I are sidelined just like McConnell and those guys and Paul Ryan. Ann Coulter taking the other side for very hardcore anti-immigration, quote, conservatives. No amnesty is a good amnesty, writes Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter called Don Trump an emperor god, and now she calls him the, quote, worst negotiator. Ann Coulter tweets, who doesn't want Donald Trump impeached? Now, she was the biggest Trump supporter of anybody, now turning on the Donald. Trump tweets, quote, the wall will come later. Conservatives now melting down, saying Donald isn't going to deliver on the wall. Trump wonders who wouldn't want to give amnesty to illegal immigrants. Wow. It's not just illegal immigration that's the problem, writes Ann Coulter. It's all immigration. Well, there you have it. It's an epic battle, folks. And in my opinion, most of it's a waste of time. Why do I say that? Because, you know what, this immigration issue is so divisive that we're not accomplishing much at all that I can see. We went into several other stories last week. We talked about this boy that was suspended from a Pennsylvania government school under a zero tolerance policy. The boy brought a knife to school, didn't mean to. It was a tool. He was helping his dad, and he forgot that it was in his pocket. Right when he discovered it, he went to the principal and said, man, I got a knife. Can I turn this in? Oh, no. Instead of intelligence, they suspend the poor young man trying to obey the rules. President Trump, help with my own belief. My unbelief, writes Alan Keyes. Well, he's one of those black white supremacists, I guess Alan Keyes is, wanting Trump to stand tall and do the right thing. We talked about, can rabbit meat save Venezuela from going hungry? We talked about Berkeley gets $98,000 to fund a Black Panther tribute funded by the Park Service. And Donald thinks there's no place to save money. Pussycat Dolls singer Kaia Jones, she says, you know what, Hollywood needs to quit. Stop promoting abortion. We talked out about a revolt over government school drug and sex quiz in Utah. There's not a revolt, folks. The headline deceives you. There's just a bunch of frustrated, angry parents. Susan Rice admits to unmasking Trump officials. People ought to go to jail for that stuff, but again, there's no accountability in the system. No one's going to jail. And sadly, we ought to be talking about pro-life versus pro-death not about abortion, or not about immigration. We ought to be talking about abortion, a much more critical issue, in my humble opinion. However, again, I'm not an anti-immigration hawk like others. I don't say all immigration's bad and the problem. I get Pat Buchanan and Ann Coulter and others that say, you know, once you open the door to give people a chance to come to America, that door will just get opened wider and wider and wider. And they're right about that. We got to be very conscientious about that. But if you don't open the legal door in some way, as far as I can tell, there's just no way forward. Now, Richard Mack and others advocating for an idea that says, look, let's shut down all immigration. Let's turn off the illegal immigration spigot, the all immigration spigot, until we can get a handle on what's really going on. In other words, sort it out, and then we can talk about what to do next. I think that's a very wise decision. Like plumbing in your house, when you got a plumbing leak that's big time causing problems, you go turn off all the water first. Then you figure out what the problems are, you solve them, and then you can turn back on the water. I agree with that general concept. But ladies and gentlemen, we can't just be anti-immigration. The founders weren't anti-immigration, but they did have guidelines. They did want people to become Americans. We ought to have the same viewpoint in America today. But this idea that zero immigration is the only answer or the only acceptable solution, in my opinion, is a non-starter. And if you're not careful, Donald Trump and others, you need to come to the immigration table with some appropriate ideas. If you don't, the states are going to circumvent you. California is already becoming a sanctuary state now. How are you going to stop immigration with sanctuary states blocking your every move? You try to go against the states and defund them, and, well, they'll sue you and win. We've set up such a disaster in America violating the checks and balances. The only way forward is to disassemble the swamp. In Donald's defense, it's very hard to drain the swamp. On the other hand, Donald not doing a very good job draining the swamp. Sad but true. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Friday. It is still available on demand at LibertyRoundtable.com. All right, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. Now, to start out the news the networks refuse to use today, I've got just a compilation of news stories you got to be aware of. There's so many bad news and so many good news stories mixed together. It's hard to manage your emotions. Our buddy Tom DeWeese, well-known at the American Policy Center. He's been a fighter for Freedom 21, against Agenda 21, against Agenda 2030 for decades. Good friend of ours. Wonderful gentleman. Appears on the broadcast with us quite frequently. Well, Tom DeWeese emails me and he says, I'm greatly grieved to tell you of the passing of my wife, Carolyn, I'm sorry. And Carolyn passed away last Wednesday, September 13th. She passed away with a severe internal cerebral hemorrhage. So poor Tom DeWeese's wife, Carolyn, passed away. Our prayers are with Tom. Our prayers are with their family. What a tragic loss. Not only was she his wife of many, many years, but she was the organizing lady behind the American Policy Center. She didn't get near enough credit. She wasn't in the limelight. She wasn't a public speaker like Tom was, but she certainly did much to hold the organization together. Our prayers are with Carolyn DeWeese. Kurt, any comments on that?
You know, I'm just, I think that you and I might have met her once or maybe more.
Yeah, we did times, in Valley Forge, Kurt.
That's what I was thinking there, you know, and where she just basically took care of the, you know, the main things that have to be taken care of when you're behind the scenes so that, you know, guys like her husband and you and I can talk, I guess you could say, and thank goodness for a good lady that, man and a woman helping each other out. I mean, isn't that cool, Sam?
Yes, indeed. And she certainly walked the walk, that's for sure. Anyway, our prayers are with Tom and the family there. And our what a sad tragedy to lose her, another freedom fighter, gone to the other side. But I testify she lives. And I testify that Tom DeWeese will see her again someday. And I testify there is a positive way forward under the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, because of his resurrection. There is incredible hope. I can't just let these things go by without testifying of Jesus Christ and the hope the atonement of Christ brings into the lives of good, honest people. So that's a tragic story.
That's pretty much what Rush Limbaugh would say about it, and Sean Hannity and stuff
Amen.
Like
I
that.
I guess there's no need for Liberty Roundtable. Right All right, quick pause. Got some good news coming up and some bad news all mixed together. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, libertyroundtable.com, one-of-a-kind radio at your fingertips. Free, huh?
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. So some good news is Constitution Day was yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, September the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Constitution Day. What an incredible day that never gets celebrated. Tragic but true in America. We celebrate Independence Day. That's great. But in my opinion, Constitution Day is a day that ought to be celebrated, Kurt. And
yeah,
a lot
you know, it was
this.
Amazing. I got a nice notice from Senator Hatch and Senator Lee, and then all the representatives from Utah celebrating Constitution Day. And then, of course, the local big media, you know, they all promoted it. I mean, big time. I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
I know, we couldn't even talk about anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it was just wall-to-wall coverage for Constitution Day.
Most groups violated the Sabbath day and ignored Constitution Day while they promoted all kinds of other ought-not-do according to the Ten Commandments, Kurt. That's
really?
What really happened, yeah. They had the Emmys.
Here in America?
Or those awards were last night. It was a rally that trashed Trump on the Sabbath and stuff like that. What do they call that? An epic television rally, Kurt? Promoting the entertainment
yeah, I guess,
of society,
you know,
but it went 100% political.
Huh? I was thinking maybe I had to look it up careful to see because, you know, to see if Constitution Day was really yesterday. But I looked it up and it really was, and
Roger
I guess
that.
Everybody forgot about it.
No,
somehow.
We did
they,
not. I'm bringing it up right
well,
now.
Well, what I mean is, you know, the big boys. Maybe they just don't have as a biggest staff as we do. You know, I mean, they just don't have that support.
Maybe they just don't believe in the supreme law of the land, and to them it's just not an epic day of importance, Kurt, like it is for us.
Oh.
Maybe they're too busy, you know, whining and dining and partying and ignoring the directive of
God. I'm sure today Rush Limbaugh will be talking about it, and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck.
Well, I pray you're right. That's all I can say is I hope you're correct, my friend.
Yeah.
Anyway, all I can tell you is it's great news to celebrate Constitution Day. And Lowell Nelson usually joins us on Mondays. He's got some work responsibilities, so he couldn't join us today. But he has an
epic... And he had to milk the goats, too. I mean, good point. You know, which, I mean, there's a guy that you can tell has, you know, I mean, he's pretty grounded if he milks goats. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Usually I think of if somebody milks goats, then they're grounded. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I would think instead of being grounded, they're a goat milker.
Well, he's kind of down to the earth. You know what I mean? I mean, the guy.
Not down on the earth.
Raw honey. He wants to eat, you know, good goat's milk. You know, I mean, the guy's. I mean, just imagine. You know, speaking of Lowell, I don't know if I told you this, but a little while back, I listened to a guy named Doug Wright. I rarely do that, but Doug Wright is a talk host in the Utah area, ladies and gentlemen, that, he's put on by one of the biggest media entities called KSL in our area, and the guy's, in my opinion, a spokesperson for the Kingmen or the insiders or whatever.
He doesn't really mean
to
be,
pretty much. Well, I'm just saying that he was talking about. You remember when Lowell told us about the kind of the battle where they were having about this? Well, you know, the big money types want to control the Republican Party, and they kind of want to change things.
Yeah, they don't want to use the system that we used with caucuses, to elect the people and vetting candidates. They want to circumvent the process with big money and popping straight to the ballot and skip the caucus system. Sure. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, because they really didn't like the whole results with the Mike Lee thing.
Too much scrutiny going on with that, you know?
Too much getting rid of the insider Kingman kind of guy, Mr. Bennett.
Especially when the American people get involved, see?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, so now they come out and they say, oh, man, they're really concerned about this, that everybody's vote needs to count, you know. And, of course, these are the same people that they don't really want, people to really, you know, have a vote count system that they can count on. They just want their system so that the insiders, the big boys, the Mitt Romneys, the Orrin Hatches, and whatever, keep their spots to, you know, bless the rest of us for so many years or whatever. But, you know, they were, Mr. Doug Wright was quite concerned with the extra expenses of the Republican Party and in defending this, you know, going against this law that, you know, the insider boys are wanting to keep in place. And I thought, man, that shows us even more that what Lowell Nelson, you know, is doing along with his buddies, a few good men and women, to try to keep things, I guess you could say, a little less insider-ish.
Well, and then you kind of say, what is a Republican? And I hope it's the Lowell Nelson kind.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
I know.
And, you know, the epic battle is on between, you know, the insiders and the rest of us. And a lot of talk show hosts are deceived on these points. And I, you know, I reject the idea that we're going to get less people involved and less vetting of candidates and let big money replace the vetting that used to take place in Utah. But again, the epic battle over, you know, partisan politics is on live and well. And if the Republican solution was the answer, then you would think, man, Utah would be rocking because it's like significantly Republican. But I don't see a whole lot more going on valuable than in Utah because it's so Republican. I just see a split between, say, Mike Lee and Orrin Hatch. And those are supposedly the good cop and the bad cop kind of an idea. And, you know, the conservative and the liberal Republican senator factions. But, you know, I go way more conservative than even a Mike Lee. I think Mike Lee's an extreme liberal personally. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, I know he does some good compared to Orrin Hatch. He's pretty good. But you know what? Compared to how I'd be, the guy's just not even in the ballpark, Kirk.
Yep. Isn't that amazing?
I mean, for example, I didn't hear Mike Lee speaking out for Constitution Day.
Yeah, I guess he was just not by his computer. Maybe he just didn't have his
He's probably notice, too busy focusing on God, family, country. He didn't have time to tweet to Sam.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Lowell Nelson has an epic discussion about Constitution Day, about the preamble to the United States Constitution, what it says, what it doesn't say. Bottom line is, if anybody's ever trying to use the preamble to the Constitution to expand government, they're probably violating the reality of the Constitution in their very promoting of the preamble. He goes to the 10th Amendment Center to really break down what it says, what it doesn't say. And I really want to talk about this because I think it's an important subject, but I don't really want to talk about it without Lowell, just because he brought so many of these ideas to the table. I don't want to be taking credit for them or anything.
Right.
What do you think? Should we save it, or you want to dive into them?
You know, whatever you think. I know he wouldn't mind, but I hate to talk about Constitution Day, you know, so far away from the real day. But I know that all the other hosts and things will, you know, like Michael Savage will be bringing it up, and, you know, so many other guys will be, you know, like Doug Wright in Utah. I mean, it'll be the hot issue of the day, Constitution Day, and the promotion thereof. I mean, it's probably going to be sending out free constitutions to everybody that listens.
Yeah, I mean, so Lowell, you know, says, for many Americans, knowledge about the Constitution really starts and ends with the preamble. Good on the government schools for teaching the preamble. The problem is, even though people memorized it in school, it doesn't really help you understand because it doesn't say much. In other words, sometimes thinking you know the preamble makes you believe you know the whole Constitution, and it does more harm than good by just knowing a little snapshot. It does have poetic beauty. It does have sweeping principles. It does highlight the Constitution's preamble about the American system of government conceived by our founding generation. That's wonderful. It does establish who has the proper authority, and it does outline the general proper role of government, but it doesn't tell us the details to govern properly. What the preamble does tell us, it doesn't tell us anything about the government's extents of power, but it does tell us where the power comes from. Why do the opening words, "We the people," appear in large, ornate letters? Because it was the way the king's name used to be back in the King George days. It always appeared at the top in the same fashion, and this, all the founding fathers did was take out the king's name and put "We the people," signifying the sovereign authority that the people have. All right? So, you know what? In the king's system, the king had ultimate sovereignty. In our system, we the people have the ultimate sovereignty.
See, imagine a guy that's on the Republican Central Committee having that kind of understanding. I mean, you can see why they want to, you know, get rid of Lowell. You know what I mean? See?
Yes, and "we the people" does not really mean "we the people" as a giant conglomerate or every person in America taken together in a giant whole. It would be more accurate to say "we the people of the several states." Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. That terror threat in London was raised to critical in the aftermath of the bombing on the subway. Raising the threat level to critical indicated that many thought future attacks were imminent. But after a second arrest, the criticality was reduced. Many soldiers were brought in to bolster police departments. A terror suspect had set off what is called a bucket bomb on a crowded commuter train Friday. Nearly 30 people were injured. Luckily, it only went off about halfway. There was no full blast. The U.S. government is going to be releasing documents seized by commandos in that 2011 raid on Osama bin Laden's compound in Pakistan. The director of the CIA says the files will be declassified over the next several weeks, released to the public, quote, once we are sure that there is no classified material that should not be released. The documents include some family letters, papers on history, books, and notes about the operation of Al-Qaeda. The government released an earlier set of files after that initial raid. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low delay, crystal clear audio over the internet. AudioCompass.com. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email. LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
We are celebrating Constitution Day, which was yesterday, September the 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. We're talking about this reality check. Quote, we the people, at the start of the preamble to the Constitution, signifying that the people, in bold letters, are the sovereigns, replacing the king. God is the ultimate sovereign, vested in mortality into the people. And it doesn't say we the people of the several states, although it ought to. And the reason that they didn't say the several states there, even though that was their intention, that's what they had at first, but they changed it because they didn't know if every state would ratify. But the ratification in the Constitution set up the states to remain the preeminent political society in the American system. Okay. And the bottom line is this reflects the ratifying reality. But understand that we the people, that's according to the Declaration of Independence as well, the government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed. That's we the people. We designated certain power to go to the states. And then through the states, we formed a more perfect union and gave even more limited power to the federal government. Okay? As stated in the preamble, the primary purpose of the Constitution was to create a, quote, more perfect union. This implies the document didn't reinvent a union, but merely made a union already existing more perfect. I mean, we already had a union based on the Articles of Confederation. They meant to update and strengthen, not dissolve. All right, America's original Constitution explicitly documented the sovereignty of the states. And this structure, based on the Articles of Confederation, carried over to the Constitution. James Madison explained the concept in his report talking about the Virginia resolutions. Madison asserted that the states are the parties to the Constitution or compact. By this, he meant the people of the states created the Union through their states. Anyway, he further developed the report by his writings. It is indeed true that the term states are sometimes used in a vague sense and sometimes in different senses according to the subject to which it's applied. But I understand sometimes we're talking about the separate sections of territory occupied by the political societies within each. And sometimes we're referring to the governments established by those societies. Other times, we're talking about the people composing those political societies. Anyway, it's complicated. But in short, ladies and gentlemen, understand that the people organized into political societies known as states, they are sovereign in the American system. They share a tri-dual sovereignty, if you will, with the people and with the federal government. The people have the ultimate sovereign authority. The states are delegated certain responsibilities. The federal government are delegated more narrow and separate responsibilities. But it's all based on the consent of the governed. That's we the people. That's the phrase leading out the preamble. All right, the preamble also establishes the general purposes of the union and the general objectives and purposes for the federal government. In a nutshell, the reasons spelled out in the preamble answer this question. Why do the American states form a union in the first place? The answer, to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for the common defense, to promote the general welfare, and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. The problem with all that is no one knows what those words even mean. They think welfare means, hey, that we got to have a welfare system. They think justice means you got runaway judges that have no accountability, no checks and balances in the system. See, we need to return to an understanding of sovereignty, of the proper role of limited, delegated government based on the consent of the governed, principles that the founding fathers understood so well. In a modern day society, because of government school, we've lost reality on. Now, the preamble outlines the broad objective of the proper role of limited government. It does not confer any authority to it at all. The delegations of powers are defined in the federal government's constitution. All right? They talk about Article 1, delegating power to Congress, 2 to the president, 3 to the courts. Without these delegated authorities defined in the Constitution, it's meaningless. There are no mechanisms, if you will, to carry these realities into effect. Many Americans don't understand this. They believe the preamble empowers the federal government to take virtually any action necessary to achieve the Constitution's stated objectives. That's the problem. Anyway, Americans began abusing the words in the preamble almost before it was dry. The ink was dry. Now, a lot of the founders said we shouldn't have a preamble because it might lead people astray. Boy, howdy, were they right. Anyway, the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is we need to return to the proper role of limited constitutional government. It understands by America. We understand it, most importantly, with Americans working on educating themselves. The preamble is like an introduction to the book. It gives you a general idea to what the book's about, but you got to read the book. You never write a book report just reading the introduction. Anyway, anybody trying to justify certain actions via the preamble is really advocating for greater government in violation of the Constitution. Anyway, any updates on this, Kurt, to add to this summary? It's important to understand Constitution Day, to understand the preamble has its purpose, but don't let that deceive you into thinking it's the enabling or the delegating document. That is the supreme law itself, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, and it's a wonderful subject, at least in my opinion. It's very important to bring it up, and yet I think if you ask the standard American, you'd be lucky to find 5 out of 100 that, number one, even knew that there was such a day, a Constitution Day, and, I used to be in that category. I blame myself and, those in charge of teaching those principles in that, hey, why would this not get the coverage, or more of the coverage than maybe, Halloween?
Well, because it might make a difference to actually.
That's almost sacrilegious.
It might make a difference to bring people together, Kurt. You can't have that. It's kind of like what they said about the Ten Commandments. I mean, if you had those up, people might look at them and they might think about them. They might decide to obey them. Can't be having that kind of stuff going on if you want to destroy the country, Kurt.
Well, that's a great
point. To me, it's obvious, the problem here. But again, the new media has taken center stage. They used to not be able to even have Constitution Day acknowledged. But now, not only is it acknowledged by the new media, but it's we articulate and explain and educate about its proper role and about how we can become part of the solutions, Kurt.
Wow.
Isn't that epic good news?
Yeah.
Should I move to another epic good news story for you, Kurt, or should I do the next negative one first?
I'm up for whatever you
want. All right, let's do this. Trump treks to the United Nations and pretends to pursue UN reform. All right, Donald ain't going to do any UN reform, Kurt. You can't reform such a hostile organization to the proper role of limited constitutional government. Okay, so Donald's going to go there, and I don't know if he really thinks he can reform it or not, but either way, he'll never get anywhere, Kurt.
Well, it's
you can't reform those organizations. So Donald ignorantly rolls to the UN, and he thinks he's going to, you know, get some kind of reform going on over there. By the way, the idea of America First and the United Nations are contradictions in terms, Kurt. The UN doesn't believe in America First. They believe in global governance, and the whole purpose of the, you quote, United Nations is to replace the United States.
Yep. That's right.
Circumvent the United States. Don't fall for the lie. All right. That's the negative news. Now, I don't know how to approach this, Kurt, because I'm a white supremacist, right?
Of course, because you're a white guy. That just makes you
of course.
Automatically that.
The truth doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. There's this chick named Pam Breck. And Pam Breck broke down in tears, Kurt, while she was waiting at Lowe's. She was waiting for Hurricane Irma to hit. And her main concern was Richard Robinson, who's a veteran, who's on oxygen. It's her father-in-law, 87-year-old father-in-law, Korean War vet. And her problem was that she knew that the oxygen machine needed electricity, so she was at the store trying to get a generator. And this dude got the last one, and it wasn't her. Okay?
Oh.
Now, the problem with this whole scenario is, well, she got shafted. Somebody just kind of slipped in right before and took the last generator, and she was hosed. That's not the good part of the story. That's the concerning part. The good news coming up. I think this guy's name is Santiago. Hold on. Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit, it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom, and It's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs, and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so now the headline. Man gave his generator to desperate woman before Hurricane Irma hit. Now, the Blaze, Glenn Beck's organization, gets credit for bringing this story forward. I didn't even know about it until I saw it on the Blaze. Good for them. But here's the deal. Just before Hurricane Irma ravaged Florida, there was an Orlando resident. His name was Ramon Santiago, Kurt. Now, I don't know if Ramon's legally here or not. All I know is that Ramon barely speaks English. And I know that Ramon saw Pam. Well, Ramon's the guy that got the generator. And he beat Pam to the punch. But then he saw Pam kind of melting down and tearing up. And he went over to her and he said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I told him I'm just scared," and she explained why she needed the generator. She said, "My father's on oxygen, my father-in-law, and I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen to him. I'm worried." Now, the Washington Post took part in the details of this story, by the way. They did the interview for it. But she then said, "That's all right. God will provide." She turned to walk away. But then Ramon Santiago stopped her, and he said, "Ma'am, this generator's for you. You take it. You need it more than I do." Now, ladies and gentlemen, most acts of kindness go unnoticed, but this one was captured by a news team stationed at the store. They wanted to capture people preparing for the storm, and they caught this on camera. They say it was posted to social media, and it took off like wildfire. I think that's great that the new media is making it go like wildfire. And I appreciate the Washington Post and the Blaze and others for talking about it. The video has been viewed more than 21 million times. Well, now the good part of the story is, so this Santiago guy was kind, gave her the generator. They parted ways. But the cool part is now they say the pair was able to meet again this week. And fortunately, under much better circumstances, according to WFTV, the couple, well, they met at a factory. I guess it's an upholstery factory where this Pam lady worked. The two exchanged a big hug and talked as the cameras rolled. Santiago explained that just seeing Miss Breck in tears was enough to act, and that giving up his generator for her and her needs was a no-brainer. Fortunately, the power stayed on for both of them, but they're just happy that they're effort went viral. And they say this to end the story, Kurt: "Be kind to your neighbor. That's what God wants us to do," Pam told the TV station. "We showed there is still goodness and love in the world." Now, there are some that are going to say, "Oh yeah, find a story about an illegal alien and make him sound like the good guy." You know what? I don't know if that's true or not. All I know is I'm not going to reject an act of kindness that ought to go viral. I'm going to support it and say good for this Santiago guy. And good for the media to cover this one. And good for the Blaze to bring it to our attention. And good for the Washington Post to cover it. And good for this local TV station to capture it on camera and decide to highlight it. All right, this Santiago guy doesn't speak English well. I don't know his circumstances. But I know that Ramon Santiago did a good job here. And I know Pam and her family were grateful. And I know it was an act of kindness, and we need more of that, not less. And if there is an illegal immigration problem in the case of Ramon Santiago, this is why I say that we need to find out the good guys and keep them here. And we need to reject the criminals. And all I can tell you is Ramon showed an act of kindness, and I wish the rest of the media, even though it was showed 21 million times, Kurt, on new media taking center stage, and even though the Washington Post and the Blaze got involved, and I commend them for doing so, I didn't see this go viral. I went on Fox and CNN and everywhere else, and why aren't they carrying the story? because they're too busy at the Emmys attacking Donald on the Sabbath. That's why. All I can tell you is what a great story, Kurt. What an example that we ought to follow. We need to have copycats all over the country on that baby.
Well, I mean, just imagine somebody being nice to somebody else. Somebody following the Prince of Peace. I mean, you can see why you couldn't highlight that story, Sam, on like Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. I mean, like you said, hats off to the Blaze. And what was the other source? Washington Post
is the one that did some of it, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's just so refreshing, ladies and gentlemen, because of our massive staff and the, you know, the huge budget that we have compared to these other organizations, how we can find these stories and they can't. You know what I mean? Right, Sam?
Yeah. All I can tell you is, so this guy sees this lady in tears. He's like, hey, giving her the generator was a no-brainer. Be kind to your neighbor. That's what God wants us to do, writes the woman. Well, she told that to WFTD.
Well, see, that's the reason.
That's why they don't cover
talk about this. It's got
if he raped her, then it would
there.
Be top news.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Good. Stole something, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I'm surprised the documented, you know, alien people don't, you know, talk about this and say, see, Santiago's the good guy. But they don't even, you know, where are they? It's kind of like when good things happen, like the pro-death movement's shut down or something. Where are all the women? They should be celebrating that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that. Anyway, all I can tell you is it's good news. I agree. Being kind to your neighbor is one of the great keys. It's what God wants us to do, and I like to highlight that reality in the story. And I commend those who have participated. 21 million views, Kurt. That's pretty good. Did you know about it?
No, I didn't.
It just goes to show. Neither did I till the Blaze brought it to my attention. The Blaze is a new media service, by the way, offered by Glenn Beck and others. But I didn't know about it until that. So the new media is doing a great job. 21 million views. Glenn Beck covers it. The Washington Post covers it. That's all good news. But I don't really see enough covering it to make this a top billing story, which it ought to be, Kurt.
Yes.
Because what if we had more and more stories of kindness, of service, of caring for one another, of trying to do what God wants us to do, of seeing somebody in tears and trying to, you know, give them a touch on the shoulder, a kind hand, whatever the case may be, in help and genuine caring for one another. We, an ultimate act of civility, if you will. We just need more of that, folks. I'm telling you right now. Speaking of more of that, Roy Moore's in the news, folks. Roy Moore continues to lead in the Alabama race.
Yeah, good point, Sam. And, you know, this is not exactly, well, this is far from what the Kingmen would prefer. But
I guess Mel Brooks was running against Roy Moore and lost in the primaries. And now looks like Mel Brooks announces that he voted for Roy Moore in the Alabama runoff, Kurt. That's good news. Good for Mel Brooks.
That's right. Mo Brooks,
Mo Brooks.
He's the Republican rep down there, representative, and he's also a member of what's called the House Freedom Caucus, and they call him a hardline conservative. You know, and this is the way they, you know, intend to take him out or
a hard line, extreme, you know, it's that kind of a mentality.
That's right.
What about the constitutional God-fearing conservative? Maybe something like that.
Yeah, maybe somebody that.
What about
actually
the honorable? Because he used to be a judge. What about the honorable, God-fearing conservative, Kurt?
Yeah, that's a good point, Sam. But it just shows you the way that the media can twist it around. But this story, as you said, Judge Moore, you know, one of the lefts and the. Well, the Insider Boys and the Kingmen Boys, you know, main enemies. Well, he's picked up a little more help. This guy got 20%, the guy that, you know, is supporting him now, Mo Brooks down there in Alabama. He picked up 20% of the vote in the first round of the Republican Party primary, which left him in third place. And so now He's throwing his support.
Doubling down for Roy Moore. Good that he is. Now, Donald Trump, I guess, is headed this Saturday to stump for Luther Strange.
Well, that's a strange situation.
President Trump will go on Saturday and campaign on the public's dime for Luther Strange. Now, I don't really, I think that's a conflict of interest for the Donald to be there in the first place. But what I find fascinating about this is the story goes that I guess Jared Kushner, you know, the son-in-law of the Donald, literally is the one that got Donald deceived to back Strange. And I think that, again, the problem is you got that swamp around you. Even your family's part of the swamp, Donald. You should have backed Roy Moore. Nevertheless, Mitch McConnell's in the news about Roy Moore. Did you see this, Kurt?
Well, you know, he seems to, he and his ilk with their money seem to be pushing the Strange situation as
far as they can. So Senator Mitch McConnell's Senate Leadership Fund has spent millions to support Strange.
Yeah. And now, so much of the Insider Boys Republican Party money, which, you know, if you follow it back, Sam, I wouldn't be surprised if there were good people like our buddy Lowell and, you know, others who've, you know, even Scott Bradley was a former, you know, Utah, big committee that the Insider Platform Committee or whatever. He used to be part of that, you know, before he joined the Constitution Party. And, you know, so many of us were, and so many of our dollars, I wouldn't be surprised, would end up in things like the Senate, what's that thing called? Senate Fund.
Leadership
Fund. You know,
fund,
that's, yeah, that's controlled by McConnell. You know,
it's a Senate Leadership Fund. Plenty of bucks in that bad boy.
Rip it around, you know.
Now, the sad part is all that's happening, but I still think there's a great chance that Roy Moore will win. We'll do everything we can to make that happen.
Yep.
Now, there's a news article that Kurt wants to report, and I don't think he should report it. Senate candidate Roy Moore this year.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
See, now this is a CNN story. And
the reason
that
I don't,
piece.
The reason that I don't know that we ought to report is just because it's going to help further the takeout a little bit if you're not careful.
Yeah. I know, but it shows you who his enemies are. And this is from CNN. And they say, oh, what an evil thing that he suggested that 9/11, that tragedy, might have been punishment for the U.S. turning away from God. So, you know, of course, then, you know, CNN's going to say, wow, he's some kind of a nut.
A hater is what he is, Kurt.
Yeah. When we avoid and go against God's laws, all bets are off, babies.
And is it possible to acknowledge the punishments that may occur based on actions, Kurt? Or is that just permissible?
That's what CNN is saying. That's just
now, whether you agree with him or not, CNN, does he have the right to those thoughts and beliefs? Just wondering. I thought this was America. All right, LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure.